With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom, reach new audiences, and bring important information to the public free of charge. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom and donate today. Simply go to tntradio.live. You're with Len Bedopic on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back to today's News Talk with me, Len Bedopic, and we'll be talking about some of the breaking stories from around the world. I'll share some of your comments in a minute too. Coming up in this hour, we look at the Labour Party, which in the United Kingdom, which is planning to, wait for it, make changing gender easier. Really? After everything that's been going on, after all the discussions that we've had, all the concerns, well, let's find out what they're talking about there. And I'll leave you to make your judgments about this as a party, whether this is a party that's got its finger on the button of common sense. And speaking of common sense, we also hear about the biggest scandal in NHS history and how those affected by it have waited decades for justice from somebody who's been directly affected by contaminated blood, which has literally killed thousands and blighted the lives of tens of thousands of more friends and relatives and sufferers as well. And we bring you the very latest on those deaths in the Iranian helicopter crash, which killed the Iranian president and also the Iranian foreign minister. All of that in this hour. A few of the comments from the previous hour. We were talking about things including China and whether China's being pariah. Tom Sullivan, my political commentator, was talking about that. And I raised the possibility that just maybe there are quite a few people who think that we should not be countenancing the killing of tens of thousands of Palestinian women, children, and male non-combatants. Hermetica says, as for China, yes, the MSM spreads, mainstream media spread unfounded rumors, but I still say we underestimate China. They have a significant online presence with 500,000 to 2 million 50 cent army, i.e. people, paid per post to change public opinion across the world. Just because China doesn't physically go out and fight wars, mostly, doesn't mean they're not at war with the West. They've openly said that they are. Hermetica, I just have a slightly different view, maybe influenced by the fact that, and I have to declare an interest here, I was deputy chair of the all-party China group when I was an MP. I was mightily impressed, actually, by the people I met. Was that good propaganda, or was it my optimism? Or was it just possible that China is playing a very long game? And that game is paying off. They told me, this is like 30 years ago, they told me their plan was to try and get to a situation where they would be the dominant political, economic force, sorry, in the world. It's actually about 25 years ago they said this. And that's what they're doing. So can you blame them? Don't we play the same game? I'll leave that for a further debate, not one we can finish just now. Just the Bloke says, I agree with Tom that we've moved beyond political correctness. In those video, in a video which is posted here in the TNT Radio live chat, Nancy Pelosi argues that populism is a threat to democracy. It's worth having a look at that. Obviously, I can't post it beyond here, but if you want to see it, go to tntradio.live. You'll see the chat there. And Wefat Shug adds, in the beginning of all this, I stated that it all had the feeling of a grandmaster-style plan. They quietly steer from the shadows, aided by their Western traitors, embedded at every level of government and services. It was said that they were ecstatic when the US Army was jabbed as a signified victory. Now, that's an interesting point. Having said that, if that was the case, then you'd be agreeing with the idea of a global conspiracy. Once again, I suggest that China is acting in its own best interest, as America and the UK do too. It's a bigger conversation than we can have this morning, but you do need to read The Art of War, as Hermetica suggests. It's a brilliant, brilliant piece of work, very pragmatic. And just one more, looking ahead to what I'll be discussing shortly. If Labour are going to make sex change easier, maybe they should get themselves a pair of personal parts and work for the common man for a change. As I say, I do sense what you say, only because there could be children watching. That's the only reason. I don't want to be accused of censorship. And finally, one more. Wefat Shug says there are intelligent forecasters stating that South Korea will actually become the world superpower. Well, do keep your calls and comments coming there. A couple of things I want to say. There's the story of the Iranian president's death and the foreign minister's death is occupying the mainstream media, but we're not really getting very much light. We're just getting a lot of heat there. What I'm interested in is the fact that there's a lot of largesse and sympathy to Iran. And that really perhaps tends to underline the fact that politicians are a class of people all over the world who have more in common than they have with the great unwashed public. I have worked a lot with Iran, and I do see that in a little bit like we've been talking about China, there's quite a lot of pressure on Iran at all year round. And maybe here's a chance for the West to have a face-saving reset, which would make the world a little bit safer. We'll talk about that a little bit later on in this hour. The other point is the blood contamination story is a huge one. It will occupy center stage in the media. It'll be interesting to see how much Julian Assange's situation also is covered in the media. My feeling is that if he gets extradited, there'll be massive wall-to-wall coverage. Not necessarily against that, though. If he gets allowed to stay, it'll be a footnote in the news because it's an inconvenient truth to those who want to conform with the establishment. I want to know your views on all of that in this hour. We'll be covering some of that in much more detail as well, not least with the very next person, my fellow stablemate and the great guru herself, Gemma Cooper. All of that with me, Lemotopic, right here on TNT.
It's the stuff.
It's that division
people are talking about.
And that cluelessness that they want to push.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Gemma Cooper, welcome back. What do you got for us now?
Well, as you say, you know, Julian Assange and the infected blood scandal inquiry results, which are due out at 12:30, just after lunchtime today here in the UK. They're the two big stories, two of the big stories. But a couple of other stories. This one's been rumbling around since last week, but it's a follow-up story. And all the residents in South Devon that have been affected by an outbreak of cryptosporidiasis after cryptosporidium, a bacteria which causes nausea and vomiting, was found to have leaked into the water supply. There are 46 cases now confirmed. 70 are under investigation because when you ingest this particular bug, as it were, it can take a long time for symptoms to appear. Many people now saying they've lost complete faith in South West Water, the water company that runs things down there in Devon, and say they'll never drink tap water again. A few boil notices were lifted for parts of South Devon over the weekend, some of them wrongly. Some homes, thousands of homes were told you don't have to boil your water anymore, it's safe. Turns out it wasn't. The water company says it's working around the clock to get things fixed, but people are saying they've lost trust and confidence. And on the very same day that the amount of cases is increasing, it's emerged today, new research is out by the University of Greenwich saying that water companies took $85.2 billion out of the water firms to give to their shareholders since privatization 30 years ago, and no infrastructure investment at all. The authors of the report today say that they're treating customers like cash cows. Water firms, the 10 big water firms, want to raise bills by 33% next month to pay for investment into infrastructure, especially sewage. But the authors are saying it's the water companies that need to pay for this. The shareholders need to stop taking money out and reinvest it. Ofwat and Water UK, responsible for representing the industry, dispute the figures and say there's been $200 billion of investment over the last few years. And also, this is a headline I haven't seen for a while. I used to see it a lot in the 1970s and 80s, but an investigation is underway after it's been confirmed that a man has died in police custody. Wiltshire police say the man, who they've been holding since Saturday night in Green Gable Cross Station, became unwell and died yesterday morning. It's now confirmed that the Independent Office of Police Conduct is started an investigation into what went on at that particular police station and how that man died.
On that crypto disease, crypto this, crypto that, it would be nice if Southwest Water was providing cryptocurrency, but it doesn't sound quite as savory as that. You live quite near there, don't you?
Yeah, ish. I do live in the West Country. I'm quite a way away from Devon. I live in North Somerset, more up by Bristol. But Southwest Water does own a lot of the water firms around the Bristol area. It covers the whole of Devon and Cornwall. And this was a problem that they initially denied bit like the infected blood scandal. They denied there was anything wrong. They didn't want to look at complaints from residents saying they felt unwell, that the tap water tasted funny, it smelt funny. They were like, no, 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 everything's fine, nothing to see here. It was only when they were contacted by the UK Health Security Agency, who were demanding an investigation because they've been contacted too by residents, that South West Water grudgingly looked into this problem. And of course, we've now got 46 confirmed cases and 70 more under investigation. It has promised compensation. It was initially £15 for the inconvenience of having the water off, which has now been since the bank holiday. And many residents were going down to the beach to get water to flush their toilets and getting buckets. I mean, it's quite extraordinary scenes. But that was now been increased, that amount of compensation, to £115. And the homes that were wrongly told that they could stop boiling their water and the tap water was safe to drink, they're going to get a further £75. However, if you've fallen ill or your business was closed over the bank holiday weekend, which many were, many hotels and guest houses couldn't open because there was no water, that's very little compensation at all. They have apologised now. They keep apologising, but something tells me if they'd investigated this problem sooner, we may have seen a resolution to this. Certainly, residents saying they'll never drink tap water again and they don't trust the water company at all, which when you tie it in with the story about the shareholders just ripping the money away and not investing in infrastructure, and that's been going on for 30 years in real terms. It's not surprising, is it? It's corporate greed. And the authors of that report about the money saying that we should renationalize all water firms and put it back in the hands of the public.
Well, quelle surprise. Now, we shouldn't have, in my opinion, we shouldn't have privatized them in the first place. If we do that, what that means is we've got this massive privatization. They've taken tens of billions of profit out of it and then they hand it back. Now they've ruined it, which is essentially the best in asset stripping that you could possibly imagine. But let's be honest, water is not that important to people, is it? Yeah. Unbelievable. You know, we're meant to be a first world country. We're going to start demanding aid from African countries at this rate. You know, Gazan people will club together and send us packages of help. Really hard to see how well. Once again, I suspect this hasn't just started. It must have been building up. Couldn't have just been a one off. But that one's going to run and run. In terms of that second story, the second story that you shared, what do you think should happen next?
With regard to the water firms and the amount of money?
No, the other story.
The man dying in police custody?
Yeah.
Well, do you remember back in the 70s and 80s, you know, people dying in police custody was a thing. You know, it was a real thing here in the UK. And the cover story was always, oh, he fell down the stairs or, you know, he slipped or he choked or, you know, it was always very nefarious. And it was a lot of race related, you know, black men dying in police custody. We don't know in much more detail to this one, apart from the Independent Office of Police Contact is confirmed it's investigating. So Wiltshire Police have clearly done the right thing and referred themselves to that's usually what happens when you have something like this. But it's a surprising headline to see. We don't know what happened. He became unwell. Maybe he was intoxicated. We don't know the detail of this, but it caught my eye. To see this story, which we haven't seen for decades, it does rather make you wonder what's going on. And of course, we've covered so much on TNT that trust in the police in the UK is at an all-time low. Relations have completely broken down. Detection rates for things like burglaries are zero. Obviously, a huge glut of information about racism, misogyny, WhatsApp messages that came to light after the Sarah Everard murder. So just to see a headline like this, you think all is not well in our police forces. Across the UK. And obviously, hopefully, we'll have a follow-up story once the IOPC releases its findings.
Yeah, that's why I asked the question in a slightly cautious way. Wiltshire doesn't strike me as a particularly violent place, but in London, which is close to where I reside, there is no doubt what you say. Hugh, the faith in the police is all-time low. I was robbed twice in 5 months. On one occasion, just outside a police station, which made it easy to report. But I mean, you just think to yourself, what's happened to this country? When people say, what's it like in Britain when I'm traveling abroad, I say, not my first recommendation for tourism these days. Everywhere else seems safer, actually. The police just don't seem to be able to build bridges, particularly in the conurbations with the public. Why has this happened, do you think?
managerial infrastructure, or it's always possibly been the kind of police of a them and us attitude, and it's becoming more apparent. Yeah. People are less afraid of the police. They're more likely to report wrongdoing. They're more likely to stand up and reveal corruption. Yeah. It could be that this has just been an institutional thing for many years, and we're just becoming more aware of it. That's happening with many sectors in society. We're seeing things how they really are, not as how we're told they are. That's a possibility. It may be that really seasoned officers leave, and the type of caliber of officers that join are not kind of old style bobbies on the beat or have those kind of values. A lot of people might be drawn to the forces for lots of different reasons. The authority that the uniform affords and just career and pension, you know, nice pension when you're in the police force. So it could be that too. It's probably not just one thing, is it, with the police? But certainly relations between the UK public and the police have never seemingly been lower. And of course, it's policing by consent in this country, not by force. Interesting headline, man dies in police custody. Let's see what the end result of this investigation is.
I've got a suggestion, see what you think of this, to solve the water problem and the police problem at the same time. We could insist that the police go and arrest the people who run the private water companies. And if they don't, then they have to go down and drink the water in Devon till they've had enough. What do you think?
It's a suggestion, Lembit. It's a suggestion. anything to kind of solve both issues. But both issues affect a lot of people. This is the problem, and we pay for the police, we pay for the water companies, and we don't get a good return on either investment, do we? We get ripped off by the lack of service from both of those institutions. Nothing, surprising if you're of the mindset of TNT and you're listening or watching. You know that these big organizations are corrupt. We know. It's just now what you do with that information. Do you not pay your water bill because you think, well, I'm not getting a good return? Do you not pay the part of your local authority council tax that pays for the police because you think, well, I reported a burglary and it wasn't sorted out? It's where we go from here. We fund all this. We pay for all this. Yeah. We get literally nothing for our money.
That's the irony. We're the actual taxpayers. And to be quite literal about it, we swallow the consequences. Gemma Cooper, thanks very much indeed. That is Gemma Cooper. Share your views on this, especially from the southwest of England as well. A lot of common sense from her. And we continue with common sense in the court of common sense with Jim Ferguson, with me, Lembit Topic, right here on TNT.
See you TNT's Dirk Pohlman.
So this is essential. We have now the insurance company saying it's a state actor that did it. So it's an act of war. It's not an act of terrorism. So we don't pay. And now we'll see what is officially coming up. I can tell you that this, what we just talked about, was not mentioned in the German mainstream media. This is something that was completely cast aside. We didn't hear about it.
The insurance policy seems, as you said correctly, seems to cover terrorism but not war. So compensation for the plaintiff would only be possible if the attack were considered an act of terrorism but not an act of war. However, even if the insurance covers only terrorism, a distinction has to be made between when a state is involved and when there's no state involvement.
The Dirk Pohlman Show on today's News Talk, TNT.
In a democracy, the majority vote rules. But in most democracies, you can only vote for change every 3 or 4 years. To understand what people want, governments and political parties use focus groups. These focus groups can include as little as 20 people. Australia is a country of over 25 million people. Does making decisions based on 20 people sound fair to you? Have your say. Be heard in between elections. Download the For My Say app now. That is number 4, My Say.
If you're talking about it, we're talking about it. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back with me, Lembit Topic, here at today's News Talk, TNT. And now we enter the Court of Common Sense, where we pass judgment on the barrage of nonsense that we're subjected to on a daily basis, as much as we can spot it. And who better to cast his forensic eye over this than Jim Ferguson? Greetings, Jim. Thanks for being here.
Good morning, Lembit. It's an honour to be on with you. Nice to see you.
And right to back at you, and likewise. And let's start with this one. Labour's plans to stop the, what I think they call dehumanising process of gender change. As I understand it, Jim, they're saying they want to make it easier and want to essentially veto the right of, for example, a parent or guardian to intervene. What's all this about?
Well, I think it's all about control, Lembeck. I think this is another symptom, unfortunately, of the globalists' mentality, where they want to take the rights of parents away from them. They actually want to have your children. They want to have our children. And they want to be the ones that control and dictate the narrative. So what we're witnessing here is actually very, very alarming, very concerning, especially when we see what is probably looking like an electoral wipeout for the Conservative Party here in the United Kingdom. It could see Keir Starmer and his globalist chums being put into positions of great power. And I don't think the country realises the dangers of that happening, but they will probably find out in due course.
Yeah, one of the sources I'm told actually said that the party, that's the Labour Party, wanted to, and I want to get this right, wanted to make the process of this gender change less medicalised. How can it be less medicalised? And how can it be okay to exclude parents or guardians when at the age of puberty, many young people's hormones are screaming at them and they got all these mixed messages and they got the Eurovision Song Contest confusing them even more?
Well, you know, when you put people like Bambi Thug on there, who was the Irish entry, I mean, I think it just goes to show the state of affairs and just how fallen we are becoming. I mean, look, at the end of the day, the fact that they want to be less medicalized, I think really shows what they actually want more of is more trans ideology. And you keep on filling young minds with that sort of trash and utter nonsense. And we're going to see, regardless of politics, Lembeck, you know, regardless of all of that, this is really dangerous. And to be honest with you, there's a very dark side to all of this. And young people growing up have enough pressures with hormonal imbalances and all sorts of issues to contend with. And I have to say, you know, the modern era with all the technology, everybody's got a mobile phone, everybody's plugged in, they're being bombarded. And sometimes it would be just nice to let the children be children again.
Absolutely agree. But it doesn't stop there. In Scotland, in another act of exactly the same thing, I think 13 Greens have been thrown out of the Green Party for saying that sex is a biological reality. Apparently, that's enough to be thrown out of the Green Party. Why? What's happening?
Well, you know, my first contact with the Greens was when I was standing as a Brexit Party parliamentary candidate. And of course, I ended up doing all the hustings and the shows on the BBC and on STV and all these different places. I ended up sitting in a studio audience right next to Lorna Slater from the Green Party. Uh-huh. She is probably one of the most extreme zealots you will ever come across. And if you do anything or say anything, the eyes go wide. She's almost about to lose it. Look, the Green Party are less focused about what I would call true green issues, nature, preserving our countryside, looking after our animals and the species of this planet. They're more focused on trans ideology. And these sort of extreme policies, look, the Green Party are extremists. But the dangerous thing, Lembeck, is this. When you start to try to control and dictate the narrative in this way, well, there's a word for that. It's called fascism. And the Greens, in my opinion, are fascists.
The fact that they've done this in some strange, slightly icky way is confusing, because they keep talking about nature. They want to control climate, by the way, which in my view changes naturally. They want to control climate. But now they're trying to intervene in gender as well. And if I was asking the leader of the Greens in Scotland one question, it would be, why are you throwing people out who arguably are taking a nature-based view of gender? Whether you like it or not, leader of the Greens, that would be a legitimate place to start in the Green Party, but apparently not.
You know, Lembeck, this is the first time I've been on with you. I'm amazed at your sensible wisdom and all the things. And I know that you come from a political ideology that's maybe a little bit different to mine. But actually, I see an awful lot of common sense here, and it's great to see that. Look, as I say, you don't start pushing people out just because they don't agree with you. But that is typical of the Greens. And in a healthy democracy, you can't just silence people because they've a different opinion to you, or a different view of things to you. And when you see that happening, that's fascism. And anybody that votes for the Greens, I'm telling you now, they're making a massive mistake. And we've seen in Scotland in particular, real misgovernance by the Scottish National Party, but a lot of that clown-like behaviour was coming from the likes of Patrick Garvey and Lorna Slater, who are maniacs. They are extremists, like you wouldn't believe. There's no place in a healthy democracy for fascism, in my opinion.
Well, to continue the bromance, I'm an intense libertarian, and I believe you to be as well. So, to quote Humphrey Bogart, this could be the beginning of a beautiful relationship. We'll see what happens there. And I don't mean between me and the Scottish Greens. That's not going to happen. Another broken relationship is between trusting clients of the NHS and the blood scandal, which has now killed thousands and infected tens of thousands more. It's almost unavoidable that you trust the NHS. And I have to tell you, I've had great service by and large from them. Mm. I draw the line at the vaccinations, but that was a political decision rather than an NHS one. What's your take on the blood scandal and the extent to which whistleblowers get punished? We were talking about this here at today's News Talk TNT in the previous hour.
Well, I mean, it's crucial that whistleblowers under the whistleblower charter are absolutely protected, because they're blowing the whistle on perhaps criminal type of activity that might be taking place by people within establishments like the NHS or the government or many, many other institutions, Lembeck. And I think once again, we are going to see this dragging on and dragging on, a little bit like the post office scandal. I mean, these poor people, some of whom were accused of the worst crimes and went to, you know, charged in prison. I mean, absolutely dreadful. But when it comes to our health, we should be able to trust our medical establishment. And when you get this type of thing happening, people's confidence in that will slide to a rock bottom position. And really, at the end of the day, when we're talking about the health of the nation, there can be no compromises. Absolutely not. Not when it comes to people's medical health.
Yes. And we'll be talking to one of the victims shortly. The cover-up part worries me. And Gemma Cooper herself here at today's News Talk pointed out that we could be having exactly the same kind of conversation on an even grander scale about the vaccination program, which we were forced, or pretty close to forced, to be involved in from COVID. Will we ever learn the lessons of history?
Well, I hope so. I mean, Lebeck, my opinion is there needs to be a new Nuremberg-type trial for some of these people that were involved in Big Pharma. If you know anything, you and I obviously have similar views on that as well. So, I mean, at the end of the day, what we're witnessing and the entire cover-up by the medical establishment, Big Pharma, and our own politicians in our respective countries around the world sends alarm bells ringing, because they don't want to talk about excess deaths. They're not willing to talk about vaccine injuries, and we're seeing it going off the charts. There has to be accountability. People must be held to account. And people like Richie Sunak, who invested $500 million into Moderna through a shell company in the Cayman Islands that he helped to set up, really just goes to show the levels of corruption. That took place in 2017, long before there was a pandemic, and the Moderna never had as any successful products to market way back then. What did he know, Lembeck? Did he know something that none of the rest of us knew? I suspect he might have done.
He knew one thing. He knew how to get rich. That's one lesson I'd like to learn from him, to be honest with you. Jim Ferguson, thanks very much for being the judge at the Court of Common Sense. Have your views as well. Go to tntradio.live if I've got time in this packed program, as I'll read your comments out. Coming up next, we're going to be talking about a new show launching today on today's News Talk. We hear from one of the victims of the NHS blood scandal also, whose long wait for justice might be over. Sadly, not for those who've passed away. All of that with me, Lemba Topic, here on TNT. See you in a moment.
Hear about it.
We're depending on our congressmen.
Talk about it.
The people have to stand up and say enough.
Now, TNT Radio News.
Matt Boylant here with a quick look at your TNT headlines. Iran's President Ebrahim Raisi, together with the country's foreign minister, have been killed in a helicopter crash in the country's northwest. Former US Undersecretary of State Victoria Nuland is now calling for Washington to help Ukraine strike military bases inside of Russia. And Israel's war cabinet minister has threatened to lead a rebellion against the government if Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu fails to adopt his post-war plan.
Why not give TNT Radio a follow? We're on all major social platforms, including Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Gab, and Getter. Help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time right here on today's News Talk.
TNT Radio.
TNT Radio.
Welcome back. Coming up in this half hour, we will be speaking to one of the victims of the contaminated blood scandal in the United Kingdom, and we'll be having a look with Mr. Thornton from his war desk on those deaths in Iran and also some related news topics when it comes to war. But now we have an exclusive coming up later on today at midday, today's News Talk time here in the UK, a new show, Raking Muck, with the man who's best qualified with his rake to do it. It's Mr. Eborn himself. Greetings again. Nice to see you. How are you doing?
I'm doing incredibly well. It's lovely to join you again, and indeed, as always. And you're right, it's 12 noon in London, 9 p.m. Brisbane, 7 p.m. in New York, 7 a.m. in New York. But all around the world, it's going to be time for Muck Rakers. And we're really looking forward to it. I've got a fantastic group of people lined up. We've got the journalist, author, and geopolitical analyst, Che Bowles. And we're also going to have a number of celebrity guests who will come and join us for this first week as well. Today, we've got the broadcast from journalist Claire Muldoon. So we're going to have an Irishman, a Scot, and an Englishman. I'm sure there's a joke there somewhere.
So what have you got that I haven't got?
Well, I'll tell you what, I don't have any cheeky girls for a start, but what I also had, thank you, we remember that, it's always a joy. But we have the hottest discussions which are going to go on. We could be looking, the reason it's called Muckrakers, as you probably know, is about the progressive era in the United States in the 1890s, where they were the group of people who would expose corruption, talk about stories that a lot of people don't talk about. And today we're going to be doing a few hot topics. We're going to have the ongoing conflict in Ukraine and how the West is responding to that. Obviously, talk about Gaza and the level of support for the ceasefire for that. And also, how safe is it really to be a politician in 2024? But apart from the fantastic panel and regular guests we're going to have, the most important thing are the people at home. And we'd love people to take part in the debate to make sure that all voices are heard from around the world. And the usual numbers, which will pop up, no doubt, on the screen. Do take part in that discussion. It'd be great to hear from you.
Fantastic. I shall be listening in and waiting for the call, because you owe me a slot on your show as well.
I'd love it. You're welcome anytime. You are the biggest muckraker of them all. It's got to be good.
Cheeky girls and muckraking leave me breathless. There's an advert in there somewhere. That is the incomparable, delightful and wonderful Andrew Eborn. Muckrakers, midday, British summertime. And you heard the other times as well. Coming up next, we're going to talk about the contaminated blood scandal with Milan Potopic here on TNT.
While serving in Afghanistan, I was hit by sniper fire. The fighting was so intense, the medevac chopper was barely able to land. In the hospital, I was given a 5% chance to live. It's a good thing math wasn't my best subject. Today, I visit classrooms and share my story. I talk to kids about dealing with life's struggles. I tell them, with a little help and a lot of work, that you can overcome any challenge.
DAV helps veterans like Adam get the benefits they've earned. They help more than 1 million veterans every year in life-changing ways.
I know that some struggles are big and some are small, but they're all struggles, and you have to learn to get through them. With support from DAV, more veterans like me can live their best life. And as a new father, I have one more reason to keep on keeping on. My victory is being there for the next generation.
Adam Alexander, may your victories inspire many more. Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
Last week, Brandon met a girl on a dating app. One day after work, he finally found the courage to ask her out. No answer. He started to panic. Was he being too pushy? Maybe it was too...
Sorry I didn't respond. I was driving. I would love to go on a date. How does tonight sound?
Brandon tried to play it cool, but inside he knew. A girl so smart, so responsible. She must be a keeper.
This is the Len Vidopic Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Our next guest's life took a dramatic turn when she was diagnosed with hepatitis C in 2017. The diagnosis was traced back to contaminated blood, and that came from a transfusion which she received not recently, but decades earlier. And that explained years of suffering and unexplained illnesses as well. Dina Peacock has since become a powerful advocate for the victims of the contaminated blood scandal here in the United Kingdom. And we're waiting for the government's response today to those who we know of, who are victims of it, totaling at least 30,000 people. Dina, welcome to today's News Talk TNT, and thanks very much for joining us on what's a very big day for you. How did you find out about your hepatitis C?
I just found out to a very good doctor in 2017. He listened to...
A slight problem there. Just while we're resolving that, just to make it clear, Dina has got hepatitis C. Completely nothing to do with her own fault. She trusted the NHS and she trusted the transfusion that she got as well. She wasn't alone. Over 30,000 people affected by this. I'm wondering what kind of support she got, and more seriously as well, what can be done to put things right? Perhaps nothing. It's worth also pointing out that thousands of individuals have died as a direct result of the transfusions that they got. I was talking earlier with Jim Ferguson about the extent to which we can and reasonably could trust the National Health Service. I would normally say I don't think that this was done on purpose, but it does look like this scandal was known to elements in the National Health Service even as it was happening. They were essentially playing Russian roulette with people's lives. The official inquiry will be coming out soon, and we'll be waiting to see what the expectations are there from that. Just before we go back to Dina, something related to this, Mogden says COVID was invented for the jab, not the other way around. I think that there are some similarities, to be honest with you, between this and Dina's situation. Dina, we can hear you again. Just tell us how you found out that you had hepatitis C after, I think, years of suffering.
Yeah, like I say, I went to the doctors feeling very tired. He did a blood test and it showed my liver function.
I think we've still got a few very issues. Good.
And he insisted on me having a hepatitis C test. Yeah. Do you want to read
And that proved positive. And that, no, we can hear you. So and that proved that you had hepatitis C.
Yes. And we traced it back to blood transfusions in 1980 and 82.
What kind of support do you need for that condition? And actually for that of your fellow victims? I know others have different diseases, but when it comes to hepatitis C in particular.
Oh, zero support, because hepatitis C was known as a dirty disease where you contracted it through drugs or prostitution. So basically, it was looked at as a dirty disease. There was no support out there whatsoever.
Do you get any support now, or is the stigma still there?
Yeah, it's not improved. There's still very few people know about this. I openly talk about it now. I'm past all the trauma and feeling dirty. It happened to me. It shouldn't have happened to me. And the government need to sort it out.
Well, on that point, we have the outcome of the inquiry today. It's mooted that billions upon billions will be paid in compensation. But what do you expect from it, and what do you want from it?
I want closure. I want more people out there to hear about what actually happened, so it's not so much of a shock when you say, oh, I've had Hep C, and they're looking at you as if, oh, I'm not going to be near you. And I want the government to apologise, which I believe that's meant to be happening at 5 o'clock today. So
the apology won't bring your health back, though, will it?
Oh, no. I want to enjoy what I've got left with my children now. a lot of people have been campaigning a lot longer than me, and it's taking its toll on me, along with the virus. It gives you all other medical issues as well. So, yeah, I want to enjoy what time I've got left, because you don't know how long you've got left with it, because it damages your liver and you're more prone to liver cancer as well, as well as the other medical problems I have.
I think that you're very courageous. What's your message to those who knowingly gambled with contaminated blood?
I was not expendable. I'm a human being. I'm entitled to clean blood. Cutting corners wasn't fair, and to hide it wasn't fair. So hold your heads in shame.
Thank you so much for your clarity of thought, and good luck today as well. Astina Peacock is a victim of contaminated blood, which it turns out, it seems, various parties in the National Health Service, or the authorities at least, knew could cause trouble. Just a couple of comments here. Vanessa Y says, I've always and all will always carry a no blood card in my purse. Lord Melbury says, Ramsay Hunt, Bell's palsy and shingles seems to be attributed to blood transfusions as well. And they simply don't care, adds Wee Fat Shug. Thanks for those comments. And more than anything, thanks to Dina and our thoughts to the tens of thousands of people affected by this scandal, the biggest scandal in the National Health Service's history. Coming up next, we speak to Warren Thornton from his war desk about the deaths in Iran and other war-related matters too. All of that with Meet Lembit Obic here on TNT. See you in a moment.
Not see it coming. It's pre-diabetes, and it captures one in three adults. You may not even know you have it, but you can escape. Take the 1 minute pre-diabetes risk test to know where you stand. With early diagnosis, you can change the outcome and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. Be your own hero on smartphones everywhere at doihaveprediabetes.org.
Meet Norm. He lives with anxiety, but with the help of this latest innovation from Be Normal, he can be normal, just like everyone else. With the swipe of a finger, you can project happiness, confidence, machismo. Why settle for being real when you can be normal? The Normal Maker. New from Be Normal.
This item doesn't really work because there's no such thing as normal. We're all different. What we like, how our brains work. In fact, one in five of us live with mental illness. Don't filter who you are. Start by talking to someone you trust. And remember, there is no normal.
Lembit Opik on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Welcome back to the final quarter of an hour with me. But of course, the show continues on today's News Talk all through the day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Now, if you've been watching today's News Talk, you'll know that the Iranian president, Ebrahim Raisi, and his foreign minister have been killed in a helicopter accident overnight. Well, yesterday, really. Now, the state media has confirmed that there were no survivors in that particular crash. The president was returning from the opening of some massive water projects, dams, in fact, and dealing with the Azerbaijan, their neighbors, as it turns out. To tell us what may happen as a result of that in the region, we have the one and only man at his war desk. It's Warren Thornton. Warren, hello again. How are you?
Hello, Lembit. How are you?
Not bad at all. Better than the state of Iran at the moment, which seems to be in national mourning. Huge reaction there. What's yours?
Yeah, very much so. Well, from what we know, there were no survivors. And of course, the helicopter was on its way to Tabriz. We do know that there was communication, a garbled communication before the helicopter went down. There wasn't afterwards. So the reports of that were absolutely inaccurate, shall we say. And of course, flying a helicopter in bad weather and putting everybody in the same helicopter, not a good thing. It's highly likely that there was some sort of instrument malfunction and that then they switched to auto-rotating. And auto-rotating in bad weather is a really bad idea. That's where you shut off the engine and you basically use the rotors to try and sort of slow your rate of descent. And sometimes you can, get back on track, as it were. Doing that in bad weather and flying in the weather they were flying in was not good.
No, I've got a pilot's license myself. I suppose we'll have to wait for aircraft investigation to come out to find the whole details. But one interesting thing about it is air crashes tend to be comprehensively, and I think on the whole, fairly objectively reviewed. In terms of the politics of the situation, the president sounds like a very big loss to Iran, maybe the foreign minister even more, because he was involved in the nuclear talks. Do you think this is even an opportunity to reset things where the West can save face and say, well, we'll deal with Iran more? This is my hope.
I don't think so, Lembit. At the end of the day, the person who really runs the show, of course, the Supreme Head, will then decide, and it will be business as usual from Iran. I know everybody would like there to be a big difference, but there is so much hatred and so much distrust on either side when you consider what's going on around the world. You know, even in places like the Congo yesterday, New Caledonia, I've never known the world be in such a flux in terms of geopolitics around the globe. And for Iran, it will be business as usual. They really have no trust left in Western democracy or what we see as Western democracy.
It's hardly surprising, really. We were on the cusp of a deal, which was then just kiboshed by America. And yes. Iran, which is a regional superpower and often has to undo the mess, in my opinion, created by the West, finds itself isolated. People talk about its economic problems as if we've got nothing to do with it. We're causing them with our sanctions. I just don't understand how people can wring their hands about the problems of economy in Iran when we're actually doing it. That's not the only place where hate has been directed. The Slovakian prime minister was shot recently. Yes. Looks like he's stable, but now it looks like he might not have been acting alone. What's this about, Warren?
Well, as far as we know, obviously, for you, I don't know whether, but on one of those, Lembit, the simplest explanation or Occam's razor doesn't apply here, because we had the gentleman, when he was arrested, turning around and saying that, the state media broadcaster was being shut down, RTBS, which is a very strange thing to say, until you find out that George Soros poured tons and tons of money into that. And of course, the ex-defense minister has come out and said, you want to get rid of the problems in Slovakia, very, very simply, ban George Soros, and the opposition goes away in no time at all. Remember that we're looking at a gentleman who carried out the assassination, who's got a Ukrainian wife, and of course, there is a video, isn't there, of him protesting, vehemently at the side of the road that's come out, and that came out from George Soros' media. To start with. So that's something that you ought to have a look at. And it's got great parallels with Oswald. Suddenly we've got a Ukrainian wife. Well, Oswald had a Russian wife. And then we've got this photograph, haven't we, of Oswald holding the rifle. And of course, we've now got this wonderful video, which seems to be centered around this one guy, of him protesting against Ukraine. It's the perfect patsy, I think, would be the thing that you would say there. Especially when you consider what's going on in Georgia at the moment as well.
So this man, I think, was 71 years old, the perpetrator. Are you suggesting that he shot John F. Kennedy as well? Then he's old enough.
No, it is one of them. And one has to ask as well, Lembit, having carried out protection on aid workers, what on earth were the security services doing that were around him that allowed that gentleman to get off five shots? Normally, if you've got five of you, you'd have one in the crowd keeping an eye, and there wasn't that much of a crowd, and you would have a diamond formation. So you'd have one in front, two to the side, and one behind. So therefore, you take the bullet, and the next person either side can then step in front of the president to make sure, and there's investigations need to be held there as well.
It has been said, let's put this card, these cards on the table. It said that President Fico has actually been, it's been suggested, been targeted because he wasn't in line with Western thinking about the Ukraine war. He's not keen on a whole raft of mainstream follow the memo areas of policy. Do you think it's feasible that he was just a bit of a thorn in the side of the West?
Oh, he absolutely was. I mean, he was totally against the WHO pandemic treaty. He was a vehement opposer of the vaccinations. He was also very anti-NATO, and he was also against sending weapons to Ukraine. I mean, just how many ways do you want to line yourself up? And in fact, only a couple of months ago, I turned around and said to the guys, you know, lining up for a hot bullet lunch, you know, because he, literally, if you keep doing that, then sooner or later, someone is going to take a dig at you. And that's unfortunately what's happened. He's now undergone a second operation. But there's no doubt whatsoever that the guy who's carried it out has been put up to this. That he didn't suddenly wake up one morning and go, I'm going to shoot the president of Slovakia. The man had a gun license for a while. So it's quite clear that this was pre-planned.
Yeah. The way you've described President Fico, I think he'll be an absolute ideal candidate for my show. So I'll maybe try and get him on. A free thinker, not so much the perpetrator, I have to say. But it'd be interesting to have him on and say, why did you do it? Maybe he'd spill the beans. The other intrigue from this week is China and Russia, two of the most powerful countries in the world, getting together, President Xi Jinping and Vladimir Putin shaking hands. Well, China's playing it smart. They make everything that we buy, and they're shaking hands with the Russians. What's your take on this?
It's something that the West were incredibly worried about. China don't come out and make these statements. They really don't. It's a little bit troubling that China and Russia are fans of the WHO treaty, but on everything else, they're pretty down the road. And it is... You don't get the Chinese to come out and show this sort of affection, no ties on, hugging each other. This simply doesn't happen with China. It takes a lot for them to go down this road. And the worst thing about it is the Americans' take on this, because we've just had Kirby come out and say that China and Russia, this new alliance that they've made, will fracture. It's never been in place before. Not even... that they didn't know about the Sino-Russia pact and the fact that the Russians have protected the Chinese northern border for decades. It is staggering incompetence from the American from the Foreign Department.
Yeah, just remind us of Kirby's role.
Kirby is basically the spokesman for the foreign ministry, and he will come out obviously along with various others like Blinken, and of course all the people that are now being put in charge, now that Victoria Nuland failed in Ukraine, all the people that are now being put in charge are of course very, very anti-China, as Trump took time out of his trial to actually turn around and comment on China-Russia. So everybody's a little bit worried about this, and of course When the Chinese situation does kick off in a few years' time, I mean, you're already seeing the makings of it with New Caledonia, and you've got the Australian Prime Minister saying they should send troops over there. And what that was about is simply because the indigenous population do not want the French having all these rights over them. So it's one of those. And of course, France are blaming Azerbaijan. And you cannot stop France's role in this, in everything that's going on. To touch on Georgia for a second, so you have the Georgian Prime Minister is a wonderful woman called Salome Zurabishvili, Salome's not asking for John the Baptist's head. She's asking for all these people who bought in this so-called foreign agents law, which she's called a Russian law. By the way, it's exactly the same law they've got in America. So it is one of those. But to touch on Salome for a second. She was the French ambassador to Georgia. Then she got a Georgian passport. She's a French birth and became the president. She used to work for NATO in Brussels and worked in the French embassy in Washington. I mean, how much of a shill can you get?
A couple of comments. Mogden says, I treat everything with suspicion these days. Apparently there were three helicopters, but all the important people were traveling on the same one. That is strange. Hermetica said, clearly a takeout, but was it internal or external? And that's, I think, more to do with the Slovakian prime minister situation. Just looking ahead then, lots of intrigue going on. If you were to make a prediction about what's going to happen with regard to the China-Russia relationship, is that something that is so robust now that essentially the West has ceded its power to a whole new world order?
Oh, no. I always liken the West to a child that's just been sent to its room and is as it's going to its room, it's smashing all the toys as it goes and everything it can in throwing a tantrum. There's no doubt whatsoever that Australia will get pulled into this as well with the China-Russia-America conflict that is going to be coming up in the next few years. Once Taiwan get a pro-Chinese government, then of course, and you've seen the Americans are making new bases and revamping their bases all across the Pacific Basin. So this is what's happening in Israel, what's happening in Ukraine. This is almost like the warm-up, really, the aperitif, if you will, for the main event, which will happen in a few years' time. If Trump gets in, my prediction is the Chinese situation will get worse quicker than it would under Biden, and that's saying something.
Time to learn Chinese, Warren. Thanks so much for being on the show. That's Warren Thornton, bringing me to the end of my time with you. Thanks for all the calls and comments. I'll be back tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock British summer time. Work it out for yourself wherever you are. But coming up next, it's David Curtin, but he doesn't travel alone. He's no lone wolf either. Bill Zimmerman and Niall Fraser and Mike Rattenbury will be with him as well. Thanks very much to the team. Thanks for watching. Thanks for your comments. I'm Len Bitopic. This is today's News Talk TNT. David Curtin next.